Listen to this, but say it. So he says like this: he's going to add another requirement here. When doing these kind of mitzvahs that help, that involves helping another person, a person should be careful with all his ability. It's a very important thing, and there's a big yitzhariya. This is very hard. You should try as much as you can to hide what you're doing from somebody who doesn't need to know about it. You're doing a mitzvah, you're helping somebody, you're giving stock to the next door neighbor, whatever. So who needs to know about it needs to know about it, but nobody else needs to know about it. You should hide it as much as possible. It means we'll see, even the recipient doesn't need to know about it, so don't tell him. Interesting that the biggest reason he brings down, the first reason he brings down, is because the reward's bigger when you do it privately than when you do it not privately. I would have thought it's because you shouldn't do that because it can lead to gaiva. The other, no, just because the reward's bigger when no one knows about it. Could be, that's why the reward's bigger. But when you do a mitzvah to help somebody else and nobody knows about it, the schar is much, much bigger because you're not getting too much schar for it yet. If you're helping somebody and people know you're helping people, you're a big botstock, you're a big askan, so then you get all the covet and all the reward and all the pleasure, yeah. If you give helping people and taking care of people and nobody knows about it, like when this person who was doing stock at Das, suddenly there's no food in town, and then suddenly people realize what was going on, he nobody ever knew, the schar is much, much, much bigger. And we know from the Gemara and the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Sevim brings down that even the recipient shouldn't know. Sometimes he has to know, but even the recipient shouldn't know who the help's coming from. And we'll see as all arichas here on this, we'll see now. Umashilo yoichel astiroi. What about the things he can't hide from other people? Yisko ba shayresh sheigdamnu. There he should remember the very important principle that we just mentioned. Kato eles he should remember that no benefit, no harm can come to a person other than what Kodesh Baruch Hu allows to happen. It means whatever happens to a person, I'm not going to the big discussion, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Rav Tetz brings it down in the Sefer, whether your Bechira can affect someone against the Rotzen Hashem, not the Rotzen, I'm not going to that whole discussion. Seems the Chovos HaLevavos obviously at odds with it, but it doesn't have to be. But one thing's clear is that whatever happens to a person, a Kodesh Baruch Hu has checked it out and he's okay with it. It's passed, it's gone through his desk. Yeah, exactly. He allows it to happen. He gives permission for it to happen, whatever. But nothing, no one helps anybody. No one hurts anybody without a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving the green light. So this will help a person enormously in helping him to hide and not to get, trying to get the covet and recognition for the mitzvahs he's doing. About people should know that he's doing mitzvahs because he knows that these people aren't going to give you any covet. The covet they give you is not real anyway. And it's only a Kodesh Baruch Hu that can help you or hurt you or whatever. So what difference does it make if people know that you did the mitzvah or not? You're not going to get any benefit from it that Hashem doesn't want you to get anyway. So that'll help a person. He brings it down as an eitzah. To help a person if he's doing a chesed and he doesn't want people to know about it, and the Yetzirah starts giving you a chepper, then remind the Yetzirah that, but I'm not getting any benefit from this that Hashem's not allowing. So what difference does it make anyway? Hashem knows what I did. Hashem knows what I did. There's a Maisa by the Chofetz Chaim. I don't know if it's brought down in the Sefer that his son wrote. The Chofetz Chaim's son wrote a very interesting Sefer about his father. Particularly controversial, whatever, but that's the authoritative biography of the Chofetz Chaim. Interesting. That's a whole share, 2-3 shirim on its own about that Sefer. But be that as it may, I don't know if this story is brought down in that Sefer. I'm not a big bokeh of that Sefer. But the story is told that when the Chofetz Chaim was working on the Mishnah Brura, so part of it was with his son. In fact, the Mishnah Brura, I just heard this recently. I didn't know that. Sometimes you find the Mishnah Brura contradicts himself. And there's books being written on how to masbir those stirahs or whatever. So I heard recently that there's nothing to be masbir there. There's a stirah because the Chofetz Chaim son and his son-in-law also involved in writing the Sefer. And sometimes they're held differently to him. And therefore you have different opinions. Have you ever heard such a thing before? I just heard this recently. I wanted to actually ask somebody who knows more about the Mishnah Berurah than I do. I'm not a big, not one of my.
I think Rabbi Grossness spoke a little bit about. There was one that came up. I think like one. He was Choyza boy, and there was one thing like I remember. I don't know. I'm just saying. Recently, we saw a thing that said the vegetables that you would have to say a brocha on vegetables like cucumbers and things like that. In the middle of the meal, they're not machmas asuda. That's what it says in the Mice, the Mishnah Berurah, Shari Tshuva. And then there's in the Dirsh over there, it says that Maisim from other Achronim that he was choizer on it.
Oh, that can be that he was choizer. But I'm talking about where there's a Mefurish Astira written in the Mishnah Berurah. You turn over the page, you see on the next page that he says that it is machmas asuda.
There's plenty of steerers.
One of the big limudim of the Mishnah Berurah is dealing with some of the steerers. I heard recently from somebody who knows what he's talking about that they're no steerers. That was his son's shito, his son-in-law shito, and he held it from. You can have some, I don't know. I don't know enough about these things, so I don't talk about them. But anyway, so his son turned around to the Chofetz Chaim. They worked for 25 years on the Sefer. He said, do you think people are going to learn the Sefer one day? You know, in 100 years' time, whatever, people will learn the Sefer. Even today, people learn the Sefer. Do you think they'll appreciate what we're doing here? Do you think they'll ever have a musag of the blood we sweat and the work and the toil and the effort and whatever that we put into the Sefer? So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, he said, I want to tell you a story. He said, there was on the Trans-Siberian Railroad in Russia, when they were building the Trans-Siberian Railroad, there were two Yidden. You know, very often the Yidden were enslaved and they worked or whatever, sometimes got paid a little bit. But there were two Yidden working on the Trans-Siberian Railroad and whatever. So the one turned to the other one and he said, you think one day people will be riding here, you know, in air-conditioned coaches, whatever, you know, in first-class train coach, whatever. Do you think they'll ever understand the blood and the sweat and the toil and what we went into building this railroad? So the other kid turned around and said to him, tell me something. At the end of the month, you get a check. You get paid. He said, yeah. He says, who pays the check? Who signs on the check? He says, the Russian government, the Tsar in those days, Lord Yolozach, who it was. So he said, so what do you care what other people think? As long as the guy signing the check knows what you're doing, that's all that matters. So the Chofetz Chaim turned to him and said, who's paying the check? Yeah, who's paying your salary? He's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. As long as Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what you're doing, it's fine. Nobody else needs to know what you're doing. That's the vortia. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is trying to get across. Is as much as you can hide and be musty at what you're doing. Rav Grossness once apparently said, he said, when Rav Simcha, those of you who knew Rav Simcha Wasserman knew that he was as hidden as you could get. It was like ridiculous how he hid himself. It's impossible to understand how great he was because he hid himself. But apparently Rav Grossness once said, I don't know, I heard this from Tetz. Somebody told me this, I don't know. When Rav Simcha stayed by Rav Baruch in the Ephraim's father, he stayed by him in South Africa. He came to South Africa, he stayed by him. Rav Baruch said he uses about half his energy just to hide how great he is. The other half he's using to be great, but the first half he's using just to hide how great he really is. And you saw that by the Gedolim. They were never, no one's making a noise about what they're doing. They never do what they're quiet. You know, there's some people you never knew how great they were until they died. If you suddenly realize, wow, how come we never knew about it before? Because that'll help a person. It'll help a person when it comes to keeping quiet. I'm sure there's other reasons just that you're going to get more reward. There must be other reasons why it should be hidden. It says, "Ein brocha bo ele ledovim shenela mina ayin." Brocha only comes to things that are hidden. It's a bit of tsnias. It's a bit of anova. Why does anybody have to know? Because I need covered. I need praise. I need... It's certainly something to be well worth working on.
Ein hara, to be cautious for ein hara.
There could be ein hara. There's also Rav Shach says, whatever covered you get in this world, you don't get in the next world. So it steals from you. Takes a big bite out of you, get covered, yeah, that you whatever. So it's there was a shot that was asked of Yusuf Salanta. How can you mechabit somebody? How can you cover to somebody? you're destroying him. How can you give cover to a person? Person has to flee from covered. Covered is mamash poison. How are you allowed to feed somebody poison? He said, when it comes to middas, there's no lifnei iver. That's what he said. You have to mechabit somebody. The Torah says you have to have covered for the Talmud Chochem. Covered for the Talmud Chochem is poison. That's his problem. He has to work out how to deal with that. But you have to give covered to the Talmud Chochem. But you have a lifnei iver. There's no ifnei liver by middas. That's a state of resource. Okay.
let's say it's covered a Torah, not necessarily covered for the personal, covered for the person.
Well, sometimes the person could have an aim, covered for your parents, whatever. I'm saying there are certain things, and we'll see that there actually there are situations where you need to let person know you're doing the mitzvah. I want to go into that a little bit now. Okay, the next article is also, it's a new piece, but I want to hear, as an arichus here, and it's very, very nice. I'm Pierre Loch, and it's brought down from a few very interesting sources here. That, of course, someone should try and keep his mitzvah secret. And it says, one should always have Yerushamayim in private. Whenever possible, it's better to have fear of Hashem and to do his mitzvah without anybody knowing. No one needs to know what you... No one needs to know that you're saying tikkun chatzos. No one needs to know that you fast 6 times a week. You know, that people, what do they have to know for? And I know I'm fasting today. You're fasting, you know, it's like, no, I'm saying, it's like, what do people need to know for? So that's la'olam ye'odam yerushamayim b'seisa. Should do things quietly. He brings it down from the Shiboli Leket, the Tana Dev Eliyahu, because if just 1 second. Oh, so it brings down that some authorities object to say to word to say Seita, yeah, Lo'ilam Ya'adam Basaisa, Yeradam Shamay, Yerushamay Basaisa. You see, in our Sidurin, we don't have that Nusach. Because it might mean people might think that one doesn't have to fear Hashem in public. The only time you have to have Yerushalayim is Beseisa. Therefore, they changed the gear. So we have the Beseisa, Beseisa Ubergoloi. You have to have Yerushalayim wherever you are, for sure. But for certainly when it's private, that's for sure. You should try and do as much as you can without anybody knowing. You don't. I mean, you have to lock yourself up in a dark room and go sit and learn. You can learn in the Beis Midrash. People know you're learning. That's because you're supposed to learn in the Beis Midrash. You're supposed to learn in a Chabur. You're supposed to learn in the Chavrusa. So, Beseder. But there might be other times you learn whatever. No one needs to know that you spend 3 hours in the afternoon chazering whatever. Whatever. So try and keep it quiet. He brings down here, though, from the Prima Godam that brings down, Mr. Brewer quotes it, that one should do mitzvahs in public if it'll encourage other people also to do mitzvahs. People will see you doing a mitzvah and whatever, they'll emulate you. They'll also want to do a mitzvah. I remember when my late father was in hospital, so I couldn't daven, but I wanted to at least put on tefillin. This time I was potter from tefillin as well, because when you're oisik in a mitzvah like that, it was the last few days of his life. This time you're potter from tefillin, but at least tefillin and kriya shema, whatever. I'm not saying it was probably wrong. I'm not any lawyer that ask you on shahadas, but I certainly wasn't davening. That was for sure not. But I felt that I could take 5 minutes, wasn't a problem, put on tefillin and say Shema. So I used to go into the little, there was a little chadar ochel there, and I used to put on tefillin and take it off. The one day this old man comes to me and he says to me, why don't you offer me to put on tefillin? I also wanted to put on tefillin. Why don't you ask me? I saw him sitting there. You're putting on tefillin, it's ma'irin, somebody else, he wants to also do the mitzvah. So that's what the Prima Godam is referring to. Sometimes you have to do a mitzvah and you have to let people see you doing the mitzvah because it'll help them. Shlomo, you've been involved in Kiruv. You know what this is. That sometimes you have to let people know that there's there's things called mitzvahs. So the Ramah also says that when you make a donation for charity, so it's the right thing to do is to record the person's name in public to make a plaque. That's the makor. I didn't know this. This remark could be the reason why we put people's names on buildings and on libraries and whatever, because it encourages other people to give tzedakah as well. You have these dinners and whatever, and one guy gets up and said, yeah, I'm giving $50,000 and whatever. That's the wow. Just do it quietly. Slip a check under the table. What do you know? Because it gets other people to give. And that's brought down by the remark, the Shibbutz Leket, the Mishnah Brewer brings us down, Prima Godam, the Tshuvas HaRashbo he brings down. That it's especially when you're giving charity, this is something that's important. It says another interesting thing, when you write a sefer and it was paid for by charity, you should print that in the book as well. You should thank in the beginning, you should thank the person for donating money to help you print the sefer or whatever, because that'll encourage other people also to do those kind of things. So you have to know. You have to know. It's again, the shikulim are not so poshut. There's some people that refuse to have their names honored and their names put up and whatever. They're not interested in the covet for the mitzvahs they're doing. But sometimes you have to tell them, you're not in this world for yourself. You can get other people to do mitzvahs. That's a bigger schar than you're getting the schar for hiding your mitzvah. I don't know if you were there. You remember when Leslie Dan came to Aisha Torah and they wanted to make a big fuss about whatever. And all he would allow was he would join us for lunch. He didn't want any special lunch or whatever. He allowed it to be soda on the table. There was Coke on the table. I don't know if you were there, Shlomo, when he came.
I remember.
You were there. Yeah. So that was the most he was prepared to allow. And there's a little, the Dan Family Center, like a tiny little thing on the wall or whatever. But he himself was raided from COVID. He didn't want to have anything to do with his name on anything. But in the end, he was masking, because that helped a lot of other people to give tzedakah. That caused an enormous amount of other people to ride on his back and give tzedakah. So he quotes the other Rav Shachya when Rav Shach was when he was older, he said he wasn't confident that he would make it into Olam Haba with any real shchiyot. Rav Shach he didn't feel like he had enough schuyot, the Gorlador, the Rosh Pinovich, all the same. So someone pointed out to him, what about the Avi Ezri? The Avi Ezri is a masterpiece. Avi Ezri is from a sefer from previous generations. The Brisker Rov wrote to Askoma for the Avi Ezri, which wasn't Askoma, it was a coronation. It was like, whoa, the Brisker Rov never wrote Askomas. His Askoma for Rav Shach, people felt was a bit mugzam. And the Brisker Rov said, I didn't waste any words. He looked at it again and he said, no. Publish it like that. Shach didn't want to publish it, and then the Brisker Rov insisted. But so he felt he didn't have any. What's he going to get to Olam Haba for? So when they pointed out to him, what about all the Torah projects you did in the Talmidim and the Avi Ezri? He said he got too much recognition from the Avi Ezri and the other things in this world. So therefore, whatever schus he had in Olam Haba, he already used up in this world. So one has to, Chavi, close the door, please. So you have to know how to balance this. You have to know when and how and what, how to do this properly. What's it doing in Shara B'tochen? Mazak Kashur to B'tochen is because if you did the mitzvah, nobody knows about it. So the B'tochen tells you that the Kosh Bochen knows about it. Don't worry. You don't need. Because a person needs sometimes recognition, needs admiration, whatever. The Kosh Bochen is signing the checks. He needs to know. Nobody else needs to know. Where somebody does need to know, check out that you have to check out your negiahs and see how honest you are, whatever. Okay. The last nekuda that he brings down, the Chovesov brings down in terms of how a person should see he is being makai mitzvahs when it comes to other people. Sorry, one second. Pick it up for me, please. Yeah. But when are you coming back? Because I want to check if there's a problem. I want to give it back. I'll finish and go get it. It's okay. Shkoch, thanks, Chav. Ukashei galgal aboyre al yodoy mitzvah. Yachshev beliboy. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu provides him, yagalgal, he rolls, he gives him an opportunity to mitzvah, he should think in his mind, ki tovim es aboyre yis'ale sheheiti bo'olav. But this is a big kindness that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon him. Hashem's given you a big opportunity here. Val yismach b'shabeach oisei b'nei adam aleya bavurei. Therefore, he doesn't take any delight in the fact that people praise him because he's doing it, and he has no desire to get honor because of it. Uviyehu ze lidgas b'maseu, because that would lead him to become a balgaiva, because wow, everyone's look at a big tzaddik I am. V'yasid libe v'kanosel elokim, he would lose his. He says v'yafsid liboy. I think it means he would lose his mind. He would lose the purity of his mind. I think he means, and his intention of doing this thing l'shem shemayim. V'yafsid maseu. The whole action would be completely minimized because of it. the Yabet Schor, and he would lose much of the reward, if not all of it, that Hashem gives him for having these intentions. That's more chashuv to remember this. When a mitzvah comes around, the schar you're getting is massive. There's not enough pleasure in this world to pay you for the smallest mitzvah. So if Hashem is magalgal a mitzvah to you, he's going to pay you for it. So you've been paid already. You don't need any more payment. When I was, you'll listen to the shiur from this morning, but I was explaining how tshuva on Yom Kippur works differently to the way it works the rest of the year. So one of the guys, you can guess for yourself, Eli, one of the guys was, he wasn't so happy about it. What do you mean? What Hashem, some kind of a, you're making jokes about Hashem. I said, yeah. I said, inachinami. I said, Hashem doesn't function normal. Hashem's out the door completely. I gave them the following marshal. You have a guy that the judge sentenced him to death. The only person that can give him clemency, the only person that can give him amnesty is the king. Forget about a king, we don't want kings. The only person giving amnesty is Putin. He's in Russia, he's in a Russian prison rotting away there. And he can get amnesty if Putin will sign him away, so then he gets his amnesty. So all the friends and the protector and the skanim, whatever, they go and they push and they shove and they grab and they pay, and eventually they allow this guy to walk in and to see Putin. Yeah? So he goes into Mr. Putin and he says, listen, I'm sorry, and blah, 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 and please forgive me, and da-da-da-da-da, and kill me, whatever. And Putin says, okay, fine, I forgive you. He signs the letter and he's Mushachrem. As he's walking out, Putin says, just come here one second, I just want to give you something. He gives him a check for $50 billion. He says, well, what's this for? He says, no, because you came to ask me for clemency, so I'm giving you a reward for coming to me. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're going to Yom Kippur Mamash without tshuva, without the tshuva Yom Kippur, we're done. That's it. It's game over. You finished. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, come, I'll take care of all of it. I'll clean up all the mess. I'll take care of everything. You just do tshuva. You have to do tshuva. You have to do the four things of tshuva. But that's it. After that, I'll take care of everything. So you think, wow, that's unbelievable. You got Hashem, you tell him, listen, tshuva, chatati, whatever you do, your tshuva, or shavalana, you do whatever tshuva is. And that's it. Hashem says, okay, you're off the hook. You want more than that? Hashem says, no, wait till you get to Olam Haba. You'll see there's more than $50 billion waiting for you for that. So you see, Hashem is nuts. It's mashuga. What are you talking about? Do you know that it's impossible to put on both your shoes at the same time? You know that's impossible? So Hashem says, if you put on one shoe and then you put on the other shoe, I'll give you schar for that. Even a guy has to put on one shoe and then the other shoe. Hashem says, I know, but if you put on the right foot and then the left one, I'll give you Olam Haba for that. And you know how big the reward is? There's not enough pleasure in this world for the reward for that mitzvah. So you tell me Hashem plays by our rules. Hashem, you're right. That's right. He's rachamim and his love and his caring and his giving is massive. Much. We can't even grasp that. So that a person has to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you, and he's going to pay you big, even though you don't have to get paid. You shouldn't get paid. All you were doing it for yourself. Why should I get paid? I went to see Putin to save my life. Putin rewards me because I came to ask him to save my life. Yeah, that's how Hashem works. Putin doesn't work by that way, by the way. They're just, they're stub marshal. That's the vault. So a person has to be very careful to not to be mafsid and to throw away the whole mitzvah. And I'll discuss this later on its own, in its own Shai. He's going to discuss this later. And I believe that is in Shara Yichud HaMaisa. In Shara Yichud HaMaisa, that's the fifth gate where the Chovos Lavavos, I've never learned it, so I can't talk about it. But apparently that deals with being meyachad, everything you do, L'Shem Shemai. Everything you do is Kulasham Shemai, we have no negias in what you do. Okay, so you understand why that's not anything that I've been drawn to. It's like the Avera Faseda. Okay. So that's the end of the fifth category. The sixth category is going to deal with how B'tochen applies to reward for the mitzvahs. We're going to get Tzcha. Like Dom just gave, we get Tzcha for the mitzvahs. Why did the Torah talk about Olam Haba, etc., how that applies to the Toch and how that applies to our lives? Mitzvah, we'll do that. But when we'll do that, we have to decide if we're going to learn. Well, anyway, the next Monday night's first night Sukkot, so Zoom's going to be a bit of a problem. So unless you're in Tifrach for first night Sukkot, we're not going to do it, but we can maybe do one in Chol HaMoed. let's see. I'm not gonna hold out too optimistic for it because it doesn't always happen, but we can try. Even one morning, Cholam Moed afternoon, I'll be in touch with you guys. Let's see if we can maybe. Last year we learned the whole of Sukkot. We went through, didn't miss one morning. Remember, we had the 9:30 vibe. We didn't miss one second. Now there's no more corona, so now everybody's got corona, so that you don't have to go into bidud anymore. Wow. Mm. Our base midrash is non-stop, eh?
So, yeah. So we're saying lots of base midrash.